That's okay. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I was just sitting here just thinking about you a little bit as I was worshiping there. And, you know, breakthroughs, you know, come and go in our lives. You know what I'm saying? And you know what it is to get the breakthrough in the Lord, you know. But I just feel like right now the Lord has got you kind of in a holding pattern, you know. And you just can't kind of go this way. You can't kind of go that way. He's kind of just holding you and you're in his training harness. And he's just putting some stuff inside of you right now. And that stuff he's put inside of you is patience. Everything that surrounds you right now is requiring that. And so as you apply the patience and as you get into just allowing the Lord to move in his timing, things will fall into place. You know, I see you trying to hear from the Lord. It's almost like you're trying to hear from him too hard, you know. It's like, God, just speak. And it's like, you know, he's giving you a word, a preceding word. But right now, I just think that you're supposed to rest in him and let him take care of it, you know, because it's his battle anyway. Amen. And, you know, you can fight and you can move and that type thing and you can get some advancement. But when the Lord advances, when he does the work, he can get you there like that. You know, the disciples, they were rowing the boat and the wind was at contrary to them, you know. And all of a sudden, once the Lord got in that boat, all of a sudden they were at their destination. And so you're just feeling the resistance of the wind, and it's the timing of the Lord. And it's like, you know, your mind's like an engineering mind. It doesn't like, you don't like things that are out of order. Like A, B, C, D, E, everything's got to be in order. And God just kind of uses you that way. And so that's why this has been more of a difficult test for you, because there isn't really a lot of order involved. And so it's requiring the patience. God will bring it into order, but you just have to be patient right now. Amen. Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. God's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I was sitting there thinking, you know, what to share tonight, and I was discussing it with Lewis a little bit at breakfast, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to continue to talk about how to hear the voice of God. But I'm going to be doing some surgery tonight, so I want you to be prepared. Okay, because I believe some of the things I'm going to share tonight are going to hit you, because they hit me. Because, you know, we hear from God, but, you know, there's a fine-tuning with everything, you know. And we're in a new dimension in the Spirit, I would say, or a new season in the Spirit, or a move of God, or whatever you want to call it, you're in it, okay? And in this time, in the season, to hear him is going to be key in the fact of where he has you strategically placed. Because in your ministries, you will be known as one who hears his voice. And that is going to come in very handy for you, not just personally, but for people that are in real need. Because, you know, one word from the Lord can change somebody's life. And you can deliver that word. You know, you're here tonight to get imparted to get equipped, to go out and hear the word of the Lord for other people and for different situations. And in fact, the workplaces that you're planted in right now, I'm sure there's some places that could use really a word of wisdom right now. And you'll be the one that's going to bring it. Amen? So just kind of get your hearing ears on tonight, and we're going to get into this. Now, I'm just going to kind of recapitulate, if that's a word, I think it is, some things that I shared a few weeks ago. And I talked a little bit in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things that you do not know." Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things that you do not know. That's Jeremiah 33:3. And so God wants us to hear him. He wants us to call out to him, and he wants to answer us. But, you know, as I shared in the past messages, I talked about the dispensations, about how God dealt with humanity. And there was a patriarch dispensation where you had the Abraham and Noah, and God dealt with families. And then you had the dispensation of the law, where God gave the law to Moses. There was a tabernacle. They would become a kingdom of priests. And God dealt with the nation of Israel collectively. And that's how he dealt with humanity in that age. And then you got the gospel age, where God has made a proclamation to all mankind that requires a response. And, but in all those dispensations and since the beginning of time, there's one thing that God has required, and that was to hear his voice and to obey. Hear his voice and obey. Because some of you may be hearing God pretty clearly, but then you got that obey thing that's tagged into that. I'm not saying that you're not obeying, you know. I'm just saying it's hear and obey. And so God dealt with the ages that way. And so there are three features of God's voice that we talked about. One was that it's personal. That God relates to you in a personal way. So God's voice is personal. You know, one guy was saying to me one time, I said, I have to go pray about it and ask God about this and that. And he was trying to say, I don't think God's really concerned about your life. I just don't, you know, I think he's got better things to do, to run the nations and stuff like that, than to be concerned about you. And I listened to that boy, because he was a Jewish man, and I sat there and I was amazed that he didn't know that God could actually hear, care about us individuals, us little people here. But a lot of people believe that way. People don't believe that God's personal, and when you start saying that God had told me this and God told me that, there's people that kind of take a step back and say, why is God talking to you? You know? And that's the amazing thing about it, is God's voice is personal. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about just sitting down and listening to him talk, because he's personal. And the third thing is that God's voice, it is present. It's not in the past, it's not in the future, it's in the now. That's why he said, when they told Moses said, well, who am I going to tell the Egyptians that you are? Say, he said, say, I am that sent me. It's I am. He is the great I am. He's present. It's today. So when he speaks to you, he speaks to you in the present. Now, let's go to Matthew 4:4. You can look it up if you want. It talks here about Jesus kind of just giving us a kind of a foundation in terms of just like, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word there is rhema, so it's every spoken word from God that we're to live by. The words that you get from him inside of your spirit, that as he speaks to you, that's what you're to live by. And so God is speaking to you and to me on a daily basis, and Jesus, when he's confronting the devil, basically tells the devil that that's how I'm going to live and that's how we're to live. So, the other thing here is it says that in Isaiah 54 through 7, which I just read, it says that of Jesus that God woke him up morning by morning. God wants to wake you and me up in the morning. He wants the first thing for us to hear is his voice. I mean, that's something to look forward to in the morning. Is God's voice. He wakens you and I morning by morning. We waken up as a disciple, as one who needs to be taught. You know, so when you wake up in the morning, it's an attitude that you have towards the Holy Spirit, and he wants to speak to you. And so we have this relationship going on. People are in different places with the Lord. I realize that. Some of us are where we're at. Maybe you're just learning. Maybe you've been learning. Maybe you've been ministering for years. It doesn't matter where you are. There's always room for improvement. And if you stop doing that, if you stop the process and think, I don't think anybody in here thinks that they've arrived. But I do think that we do stop the process. I think we get to places sometimes where we don't press in anymore. It says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. That word there is to press in. And I think that we go through seasons unknowingly where we stop that pressing in to God. And so you have to ask yourself that question. Are you pressing in? Are you running on old fuel? You know, because, you know, we do have fuel. We do have a lot of knowledge about God. And we do go through these, sometimes the motions. But are we really pressing in? And so, if you're not pressing in, I'm going to give you some things to press in about tonight. I don't think you'll have to press in. I just think these things are going to be really eye-opening on some levels. But at the same time, too, you're going to hear that there's some things you're going to leave here tonight knowing I got to go do some things. And just know this, that anytime that you're challenged, that's one way of getting pressed in. I mean, you can press in, or you will get in situations where God will say something where you will press in. It's just the way that he is. He's a great motivator. And I believe he's going to motivate you tonight. So now I've got your ears. I think you're hearing. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say next to myself. But I just know this, that God is going to challenge us tonight. Amen. Now, we're going to go to John chapter 5, verse 30. And this is the verse that really kind of is the instigator of the message tonight. John chapter 5, verse 30, on the Amplified Bible. Now, we're talking about hearing the voice of God tonight. Talking about not just hearing, but we're talking about also seeking the voice of God. I want to throw that in there as well. I'm able to do nothing for myself independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I'm bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, it's justice, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and the pleasure of the Father who sent me. Now, there's so much in this scripture. And there's so many different ways that we could go about this. But I really want to hit just on one point here. Is that Jesus sits there and he says his judgment is right. It's right because he doesn't seek or consult his own will. He has no desire to what is pleasing to himself, his own aim, his own purpose, but only the will and the pleasure of the Father who sent him. Now, we know that that's how we should be. There's no question that we should be the kind of person that when the voice comes to us, we give a judgment, and our judgment's right because we never consult our own will. We have no desire to do what's pleasing to ourselves. I mean, that list goes on and on. But if you really hold that word up to our life, you know, how does that really mesh up? And we probably will find situations where it does mesh, and other times where it isn't meshing, or it could mesh. So how do you get to that place where it's meshing? How do we get there? What is it? Why is it that we aren't where maybe we could be? And where have we been, and what have been the experiences that we've had in our teachings and being taught by different ministers and attending different churches? I don't know how many churches you all attend in here. I'm sure collectively we've had at least 1,000 here that we've attended. But we've been in a lot of meetings, and we've had a lot of things said to us. And so that's why we've gotten to as far as we have. But, you know, are these things really meshing? And I know you're hearing from the Lord. I know I'm hearing from God. But I know there's some things that maybe are blocking my ears. Maybe there's some things in me that need to be changed or just need to be addressed, or I need to know how. I don't know about you, but I'm very big on how do I do this? Lord, how do I hear you more clearly? What is it that you know, show me, you know? And so we have that attitude, we have that heart, and I believe that God wants to give us those answers. Let's go to the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, let's start in chapter 3, verse 1. Apostle Paul's talking. He says, "But you," he says, "you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." So there's a problem going on. The Galatian church, they had the gifts of the Spirit. They saw miracles. You know, they had that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They had things that were going on. Okay. So they did have the power of God was moving to a degree, but apparently they were under some type of satanic attack. They were under witchcraft. Witchcraft had attacked them. And witchcraft is, and the scripture talks, witchcraft is basically just rebellion. And so there's rebellion that was going on there in their midst. But why was it occurring, and what was it that Jesus was saying, or what was Apostle Paul saying to them to point out how they can be delivered by such from these things, and how they got to that point, because they just got degenerated. They became carnal. And not only did they become carnal, then they became legalistic. Now, if you have run into any carnal or legalistic Christians in your life, but they're out there, believe me. They're out there in droves. But unknowingly, they probably became like that, because whether we know it or whether we believe it or not, witchcraft is something that is real. It is in this area. It really has not really penetrated this particular gathering. It has tried. But it's something that is there. It's real. And, you know, if you're not aware of it, or you're not really thinking about it or aware of it or perceiving it, or you don't have the defenses up, it can certainly deceive you. And so this is what's happened to the Galatian church. They got deceived, and they got to the point where they just became carnal Christians, even though they had the baptism, and even though they had the gifts, and they had these other things. But that's what happened to them. What I want to talk to you specifically tonight about hearing God, and using the Galatians as kind of our guide tonight, is that there were deliverances that occurred that the Apostle Paul had to address. There were actually five of them. And these five deliverances that Paul talks about here were all about the cross. And what was done at the cross, the work that was done at the cross. Because he came and said, I didn't come to you to know anything except Jesus Christ crucified. Not just what happened at the cross, but what the cross did for the Galatian church, but also what the cross can do for them individually. So it's not just what the cross has done for us, but what is the cross actually doing inside of us? That is the key to hearing the voice of God, not just in clarity, but specifically. You know, I don't know if I said this the last time I was here, but some of the people in the scriptures, when you hear God speaking, man, they had details. I mean, Noah knew exactly how to build the ark. He had the dimensions. I mean, you know, God was not just communicating. It was detailed. And I don't think that God has decided all of a sudden not to do that anymore. I think he wants to have that kind of detail with you and with me. But we have to get to the place where that becomes so real that there's nothing holding back from us hearing him. And there are areas in our life where the cross needs to do some work that can open up our ears to be able to hear him. And the other rewarding thing about that is these are some things I'm going to touch on tonight that you've been praying for, because I truly believe that the Holy Spirit has caused each of us to sit there and cry out, Scott, I want to change. I want to be so much like you. I want to shed anything that I've got to shed, anything that needs to take place. I want it to happen in my life. And if that is where you are, if you're hearing that cry, then I believe tonight there's going to be some things said here that are going to give you some things not just to do, but give you answers where you can be assured that these things are happening in your life. And that's so important to have that assurance. So, in Galatians 1, first chapter, these are the things that the cross has done for us. Verse 4, it says, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father. So we've been delivered from this present evil age. The cross has delivered us from this present evil age. Now somebody would think, oh, well, is that just talking about our generation? No, this is the evil age is the age where man had fallen. This whole entire age. We have been delivered out of that because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Because of the cross. He has defeated that power of the evil age that was over us. It's gone. It's done. You and I have both been delivered from the presence of this evil age. We've been rescued. Hallelujah. So the cross has done that work. It has completed it. And it is done. That's the first deliverance. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God." So that God has delivered us from the law. The law could not produce. There's nobody in here that could have possibly even done the law anyway. Your righteousness could not be obtained through the law. We've been delivered from that. We've been delivered from the law. People want to put themselves under law all the time. If you ever tried to live under that law, I tell you, you're going to fail probably within a week easily. And there's so many things. I mean, you sit there and you look at that and you sit there and there's just no way humanity could have ever done that. We've been delivered from that. But yet people want to be under these legalistic laws, these little things. You do this, you do that, then God will love you. I mean, you know, it always becomes performance-oriented. And you find that out in a lot of these cults and a lot of these little offshoots. There's always something in there about works. It doesn't mean that, you know, faith without works is dead. If we believe in God, there should be works. There should be things that we're doing. But the law we've been delivered from that. And so we don't live under the law. We live under grace. So we've been delivered from that. This third thing here is we've been delivered in verse 20. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." I'll read that again. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." We've been delivered from self. You have come to the end of yourself. Have you come to the end of yourself yet? How many times have you come to the end of yourself? I mean, think about it. You've come to the end. You've been delivered from yourself. And this is such an important part here, because we have been delivered. We need to escape from these things. First of all, we've been delivered from personal ambition. We've been delivered from pride. We've been delivered from self-centeredness. I mean, think about it, personal ambition. Look, you look in anywhere, and I mean, I can tell you that when I came down here, I started coaching, man, I had a lot of ambition. I wanted to be the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. I mean, that ambition was just driving something, because, you know, I was taught, you know, get up, go make a life for yourself. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they can become obsessions. You know, ambition, it can bring, like, pride and all kinds of other things, and you start to look at yourself as, look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. You know, and pride, you know, the pride was the first sin, and it didn't originate on earth. And if pride can penetrate heaven, believe me, it penetrates here. So pride is something that we have to be very, very careful about. And that's something that, you know, we've been delivered from. But pride is the first sin that took place in heaven. And pride is something that, you know, when truth hits you, pride just is exposed. It's just there. And you get in a situation, especially with other people all the time, where that pride rises up. I mean, you can just be driving. The other day I was driving, taking my son to school. And, man, there was a lot of traffic. Got through the traffic, was patient, saw my opening. I said, man, I got to get ahead of this pack. And bolted right through the, just got right up there, and I was just cruising along, and I got ahead of the pack, because I don't like to drive in packs, and got right there, and just got up and just cut right in front of this other car. I mean, it wasn't close. It was like I was way past him and came front. It was just, it happened to be a policeman, you know, and just didn't like the way I maneuvered. He immediately let me know how much he appreciated my maneuver. And all of a sudden, I'm not just late to take my son, now I'm being pulled over. And so I had Mr. Policeman to talk to, and he just told me he wanted to have a conversation with me. And immediately I was a little bit taken back because I could tell he's being a little aggressive and saying I was reckless and this and that and there were things that the pride just, I wasn't reckless. It's a classic streamlined move. Have you ever watched NASCAR? It was a controlled move. I could tell he was proud of me and thank the Lord. I'm thankful to him that I was able to, there's no excuse for speeding. These are the words of kind. There's no excuse. I have nothing. There's no excuse for speeding. He says, you're not the only one on the road that has somewhere to go. All of a sudden that he was nagging me and you're right. You're so right. The Lord just kind of like filled the car up, which my son's there too. And he goes, I'm going to give you a warning, And so he goes back, like, I could not believe this guy was giving me a warning. This guy was not in warning mood. And he came back and he goes, yeah, I appreciate the discussion. I like the discussion. And so he gave me a warning. But, we get in situations sometimes, man, with the pride. I could have got really defensive because he was being aggressive and for no reason. I'm just me. but he was right. I was probably driving too fast. 85 is a little fast, and a 65, and it can be considered reckless. See, the Holy Spirit's on me, truth telling. That's what he said, 85. I was thinking to myself, what 85 is, maybe 80, But it was just, it was one of those things that, I was nailed. And so pride is something that, you will be tested in. God will resist you. So you're trying to hear from him, and you got pride going on, you ain't going to hear anything. You're going to hear the back of his paddle. He will resist you. In love, God loves. He's not going to destroy you or anything, but He will resist you. And pride has a way of it's very subtle, and it's not always evident. And many times other people will see it on us, and we don't because it's our blind spot. So that's why it's good to have the brethren to point out, when we're being prideful. So pride can get us. Self-centeredness is a big one too. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. See, these are keys here, saints, to hear his voice. I'm telling you, these are things that are blocking our hearing. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. See, the work of the cross inside of you, this is an anointing that comes on you that helps you find out the understanding of this one verse. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. The work of the cross inside of you helps you learn how to do something from not a selfish motive. It teaches you. It gives you a pure motives. It gives you like a choice of A, B, C, and you'll know which one it is because you have the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit leads and guides you so that your motivation is not self. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Think about that. You can have certain actions of treating someone more important than yourself, but you really don't think that on the inside. This is how the cross works. It is so penetrating. It illuminates these areas of pride and self and ourselves so that we can easily identify them, so we can negate them and not recognize them like Jesus did. When the voice comes to me, I give a judgment. My judgment is just as right because I do not seek or consult or care about any of this stuff over here. Even though it's stuff and I'm aware of it, I don't consult it. We many times consult ourselves in decision-making and interactions and relationships and things like that, how we're going to come out on top. You know, I got in an argument with one of these guys that I worked with, one of these other coaches, and I never once won an argument. I would go into a discussion with other ADs and stuff like that, try to hammer things out, and I had my arguments all down. I'd be talking to the Lord before God. I said, Lord, the wisdom of God will be on me. I'll be able to just tear this guy up. And I got in there and I was dumber than a doornail. I know the Holy Spirit did that to me, because I sat there and I said, every time that thing would come up inside of me, I knew that it wasn't the Lord. But he had to teach me that. He had to teach me that. You're being taught the same thing. You're being taught in situations that when you think you're in the right, and maybe you are even right, but it's the motive and it's the things, it's the underlying currents within our own hearts that God is dealing with us, because he's doing a purifying work in our hearts. And so that's why the scriptures lay this thing bare. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. This is something that has to come from the heart. So when you got born again, you got the cross and it's doing a work in you. You've got the Lord inside you. There is a place in you that gives you this information, that gives you the authentic, real, I really do care more about others than I care about myself. You're not doing it out of duty. You're doing it because you are. That's that fine tuning that the Holy Spirit is doing right now in the body of Christ. It says that the bride had made herself ready. And so you're making yourself ready by allowing the cross to do a deep penetrating work inside of you, so that you become a different person who's been created in his image. That you bear the likeness, so it's no longer your living, but he is now living through you. This is the objective of being a Christian. It's not taught, it's not mentioned much anymore. But if we're going to defeat this witchcraft, we've got to pull out the cross. Oh, it's just running. Oh boy, you know how mad the enemy is right now that you're hearing this? Because the thing is, you know, we can take this message. We can take this message to other places. Let's move on here. So self-centeredness, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. So in 2 Timothy, it talks about the way people are going to be in these last days. But realize in this day that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. They'll be boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. That verse 5 is key, because they hold to a form of godliness, but they denied the power of the cross that changes them. How did they deny it? They didn't deny it in the sense, well, it's not there. They denied it by they didn't allow it to work within them. It'd be nice just to say, okay, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's all I got to do, and let's just live life and, you know, cruise through life. It's never like that. It's more. There's so much more. And the Holy Spirit isn't going to sit back and let you just, you know, cruise through life. You've got a calling. You've got something you got to accomplish in this earth. And so this refinement process And so, you know, don't deny this power. Don't, it's with you. Don't deny it. Allow it to do its work. But it says to avoid people like this. Because, you know, misery likes comfort. Let's face it. You know, I mean, it's nice to have somebody that you can, you know, share a problem with at times. But some people, that's all they do is they share their problems. They don't worry about correcting themselves. They just want to go ahead and live life. Well, God just made me this way. That is the biggest cop-out. God just made me this way. He didn't just make you that way. He's making you into his image. Now, if that's what you're saying, great. But if you're saying it like, oh, I can't do anything about it. You just made me this way. Then the sacrifice really have any power? No, you're changed. You know you're changed. And some of you may be in the beginning of that change. And there's a lot of zeal involved in the very beginning. But like I was telling you earlier, are you pressing in? Are we pressing in? When that urge of just like wanting to hear him, you know, that's when you sit there and all of a sudden now you're fasting and now you're reading your Bible more because you got to hear from God. You got a big thing coming up and you got to hear from God and now it becomes, you know, crucial. That's got to be, it's got to be like that all the time. You know, you need your daily bread. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And that's one of the biggest things that Jesus, you know, was certainly probably very upset about, is the fact that he wouldn't hear his father, or that he would be separated even. Self has to die, so Christ's nature can come in. In Luke chapter 9, see, this scripture means so much more to me after you read these scriptures about the cross. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, you know what? We got in here. And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interest, refuse and give himself up, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conforming wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. For whoever would preserve his life and save it will lose and destroy it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will preserve it and save it from the penalty of eternal death. For what profit does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and ruins or forfeits and loses himself or his soul? And the soul, you know, you deny yourself, you're denying your soul, basically. And what does that mean? What's in the soul? The soul has the will, the intellect, and the emotions. The will is, I want. The intellect is, I think. And emotions is, I feel. So these are the things that are driving you and me at times. Let's face it. What I think, what I feel, what I want. I wanted 2 chocolate donuts this morning. I only ate one. I'm getting better. I mean, this morning I fixed my son's breakfast and there's 2 of them chocolate donuts left. I think I get them just so I can tell you one time that, hey, you know what? I didn't eat any of them. But I only had one. But I wanted it. I wanted to. But I only ate one. Yeah. I felt like I should have one. And I thought about those donuts when I got up. And you see, I'm totally, you know, the thought life. You see, this is before sin occurs, there's that thought of it. And then you entertain it, and you think, well, should I just flesh out today, or should I just, what should I do? So now I'm thinking. But I feel, you know, I feel like I need a break. These are the things that, these are little things, okay, saints, but this is, we really want to hear from God. This is where the Holy Spirit seemingly seems to set us up over and over again. And if you find yourself in kind of like a going around the mountain thing, and sometimes, we go around mountains, we'd be in, 65, 70 years, going around mountains, it can be a while. And all of a sudden, you find that the cross can deliver you from that one thing. Because, there's people that, that have come up to me in life and said, yeah, I know I'm a selfish person. They just kind of give into it. Yeah, well, I'm just selfish. I mean, why would you want to give into that? You see, and it makes no sense, but people do all the time. So we need to deny ourself. And that's basically what the cross does. That's what it's teaching us. In Galatians chapter 5, I'm done with that book. This is the fourth thing that God has delivered us from. Galatians 5, verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There's passions and desires that need to be crucified. If we read on here in Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so here we're trying to hear from God, but the mind is set on the flesh and it's hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And so those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We've been delivered from that. But the mind that's set on the flesh. And so whatever you're encountering, and I think you people in here, it's probably different trials, different storms, different lessons that you're learning, whatever it might be. What is your mind set on? If you're trying to solve a spiritual problem with a fleshly mind, it won't work out like that. And so that's why the work of the cross, when you submit to it, and just the very fact that I'm saying that, if you know that it's doing a work inside of you, you have something to submit to, you have something to lean to, you have something to just stop for a second and allow God to let that process come, and then He'll be able to lead you by the Holy Spirit on what to do, or even what to think. Because you can take these thoughts captive. Because as they go streaming through your mind, the Holy Spirit can say, nah, take that one, that's about self, nah, that's about pride, nah, that's got about desire. Now, you're just feeling that now. And you're sitting and you're crying before the Lord. I've had this happen. And you've got a good cry, and you know you got a good reason to cry, and you're just getting into it. And He says, are you done? And you're all of a sudden, you stop crying because it's like, did you just say, am I done? Don't you know? Aren't you God? Do you know what's going on? Did you hear what they said about me? Did you know that I'm all alone? Yeah, it's just you and the Almighty. I mean, the thing is, we go through the flesh, the mind and the flesh is so deceptive. It can take us down to the depths of the basement. Or we can be way up in the air and thinking, well, we just won that football game and everything's great and everything's fine, and then the next day it isn't. We get so deceived at times by this fleshly mind, and we have to be aware of it. We just have to be. We've been delivered from it. In Galatians 5:17. says, for the flesh sets itself against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So that's that war that's going on, that everybody's aware of. If you're not aware of that war, you just need to get aware of it, because that's what's going on. There's a battle going on inside of us. And you know what? We've won that battle. Because our flesh has been crucified. Through the cross, we can defeat every one of these things. But we have a decision to make. We have to allow it. He's provided it for us. But we have to apply it. You know, it's like, you can have a sunburn and, you know, you got a big thing of stuff that you can put on to make your sunburn feel better. But if you don't apply it, it's not going to do anything. You've got to apply it. So we have the Word of God. We have been crucified in Christ Jesus. We can apply this. Romans 7, verse 15 says, for what I am doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate. The Apostle Paul talked about, why do I do the things I don't want to do? He is very much aware of this war. But in the end of that scripture, when he talks about, thank God Jesus has delivered me, I mean, that comes right back to the cross. We've been delivered from this state, this being of, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? I mean, he was aware of that battle within his very nature. You have that same battle going on. We all do. But we can win it. You might have a day where it doesn't work out the way you want it to, but you can get up the next day and you can apply it and you can come out in victory by the end of the day. The thing is, you've got to apply it. You've got to try, and you've got to know you've got the victory in Christ Jesus, and you just don't give up. Because the Lord's not giving up on you. But if you don't want it, if you don't want to hear his voice, if you don't want to walk with him, you don't have to. He's not going to make anybody walk with him. But if you've got that desire within your heart, then you can leave here tonight, and some of these things that we talked about, I can look it in your faces. I'm telling you, this is great, great audience tonight. And it really is. It's just, everybody's just real attentive, you know? Yeah, that's me. That's me. And I'm like, yeah, every one of these are me. I'm just like, you know, I'm the one that got pulled over the other day, you know what I mean? I use me as the example. And so I got another week. I'm going to buy some donuts. And I'm going to let you know how it turned out a week. Because, see, those donuts, the chocolate ones, there's something about them. They're so easy to eat. They are. I can taste it. I can taste it right. So as I'm talking about it, I can taste what it's going to taste like. And I am not going to eat one.
Get thee behind
me, Satan. Yeah, well, yeah. But see, it's not Satan, it's me. It's different, yeah? Sometimes we blame the devil when it's us. So we all have these tests. Okay, let's read on here. In Galatians 5:19, it goes through, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy and drunkenness, carousing, and things that likes of these, I have forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it talks about sexual immorality, but it also talks about the occult here. You know, so these are things, these are works of the flesh. It's the nature. See, your flesh, it's the nature of the flesh. We know that this flesh isn't redeemed, but he's talking about the nature of the flesh. And the nature of the flesh is sexual immorality. It is to the occult. It is, and this is the biggest one, is all the wrong attitudes in relationship. In relationships, it's almost like the largest area. It talks about envy and drunkenness, carousing, you know, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. There's, you got all these church, you know, any kind of church splits, things like that. These are lies, just flesh. You know, envy and drunkenness, carousing. These are, you know, people that are self-indulging in things, you know? And it's something where the cross has to do a work in you and me to root out a lot of this stuff, especially when it talks about outbursts of angers and disputes, these attitudes. Because a lot of our problems are in the area of attitude. I mean, just working with athletes like I did for years, I mean, so much was attitude adjustment. I'd say, you know, good 80% was always attitude adjustment. How they see themselves. You know, how can they, you know, receiving correction. You know, but because you want to be the best in the Lord, because you want to allow the Lord to move through you, you have the right attitude to receive from Him. So He's going to point out things. And as He points them out, you have to recognize them and apply the blood, apply the cross, apply the things that He's saying to apply. I mean, whatever it might be, if you're working on patience or if you're working on decision making or whatever it might be. These are the things that you and the Lord are working on a daily basis. You must submit to them. You must recognize them, because it is your ability to be able to hear from God is hinging upon it. He wants to give great detail to us. I really believe that with all my heart. And I really do believe that those that hear Him will become one. He says that they'll become one in the last days. It's going to be those that hear Him. It may not be all the different churches that we have out there. There's a 450,000 denominations. There's 2.6 billion Christians. That's a lot. That's 33% of the population of the world. I mean, look, the potential that's there is unbelievable. And of course, God always gives us the solution to these issues of the flesh. Romans 6:6 says, knowing that the old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. God has made the provision, but we've got to apply it. And the last thing that we've been delivered from in Galatians 6:14 but may it never be that I would boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We've been delivered from the world. In the world system. And when it says define, you know, we've been delivered from the world, it's basically to define that it's a social order or a system of life which refuses the righteous government of Jesus Christ. And you have people in the world and they'd be nice and stuff, but as soon as you start bringing up the Lord, an attitude will manifest, because they are of the world and they do not recognize His authority. And so, but we've been delivered out of that. I scrambled to throw this together tonight. It'll get smoother, I think, the more that I get to minister this. But I really felt strongly that this is something that we needed to hear, because I truly believe that the Christians and the people that have been coming to these gatherings with all the different teachers and the worship leaders and things like that. I mean, God's just been doing some great stuff here. But I really feel that it's a serious group, that there's a remnant out there, if you want to say, of people who really are serious about the Lord. And God is bringing to them words and manifestations and impartations that they would, you would leave here. And I would encourage you to go start a home meeting. You start something. I mean, you can get on your phone and, you know, I give out a word of the week or whatever, and I send that little video. I don't know if you guys are getting it or if it's even working. But you can do that. You can send that to your friends. You can send me if you want, but you can do your own. God could teach you something that you could sit there and just, and then pass it on. I mean, evangelize, think about anything you could possibly do to reach people that are around you. I mean, activate your ministries. I mean, some of you have already plugged into churches and you're doing things, and that's great. Do it. But just do it. Don't hold back. Just let it all out. Just go as far as you can with the Lord and allow Him to develop you and train you and teach you, because He is working with you. He is inside of you, and He wants to crucify all that stuff that you've been asking Him to do, and you just give Him permission to do it. Amen? It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. I know some of you are really young here, and some of us are older, you know, but it doesn't really matter. As long as we got breath, as long as we got something inside of us, we can give it out. Amen? My sister, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You've been encouraging me all night. You're just like a little sponge back there. You just sat there and said, I learned that. I learned that over the years. God has used you so many different ways. And one of the things that God was really concerned about, I think, in the Old Testament, especially Sodom and Gomorrah, is that they did a lot of bad things. One of the things they did, no hospitality. And God has given you that gift. You have the gift of hospitality. You've been that way all your life. You just don't know any other way to be. And you know how to be hospitable to people. You know, that's a godly quality. And I just want to encourage you that you pass and impart that on to people that are around you as you get an opportunity. Because you're one that's tried to believe the best in people. You've always tried to believe for the best. And God is going to rescue, do some rescuing in your life. You're going to see some people you prayed for that you don't want, they're like maybe not heading for the kingdom of God. God's going to bring them right into the kingdom of God. They have no chance because He has heard your prayer. And doesn't matter what it looks like. God says, I'm going to do it. My arms are not too short. I got long arms, and He's going to bring him into the kingdom of God. So just you can remain to be faithful, amen? And God's going to get giving you words of knowledge. These are thoughts that you're going to have that only God knows about certain circumstances and situations. And I just see God speaking to you words of knowledge to give you more teeth in your prayers, where you're actually praying with understanding. And, you know, instead of shooting someone, all of a sudden He just like gives you like the details and then you call them out. I don't know why God does these things. This is the way He is, you know. I mean, you know, we're not informing Him even when we pray. This is what we're going to say before we say it. But yet He wants to give us that knowledge. And I just see Him breathing into you His words of knowledge, and where you're really obedient and just praying over and over again. That intercession ministry is just going to be jacked up. I just see Him just really stirring you. And I see a real vigor. You know, God can quicken our mortal flesh. I see a vigor coming into your body even, to where there's an activation, where there's an alertness. There's something that you get up in the morning and all of a sudden you realize that, hey, I'm going to make some difference today. You know, I'm going to get my prayer list out. I don't know what it is that you do, but I just see you just being a real vigor where you're really going to go for it and you're not going to hold back. And you're going to see the goodness of God. You're going to see that He has not only just touched you, but He's touched those lives around you. And I just see God just really using you that way. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You know, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I just really believe that God has really done a real job in your life. Amen. He's rescued you. I just see Him just rescued you out of the brands of the burning. Amen. And He just kind of puts you in a real good foundation. And I see God just really filling you up with His Word over and over and over again, just stacking that Word so dramatically inside of you where you just have to preach it because you have an evangelistic gift. God's made you evangelist. Yeah. Yeah, and He's called you to people that don't believe. He's called you to the fools. Amen. You have a ministry to foolish people. Amen. Time and time again, you will be in front of them making foolish mistakes, and you are going to be the one that's sent right into their midst, and you're going to give them the truth. Amen? And some of them are going to laugh at you, and some are going to walk away, but you're going to pray for them anyway, because God's going to, just like Ezekiel said, Ezekiel, you don't warn them, it's going to be on you. And he said, you don't go and you pray for them, it's going to be on you. You're going to go pray for them, and you're going to start seeing the results, because then what's going to happen is a curtain's going to come down, where there's just a freedom and a liberty in your walk with the Lord, where you're able to just go and just talk to anybody, because that's what he's trying to do right now, is trying to exercise you. But he's got to send you the fools first. Amen. And you know what? The thing about it is, this is going to be so obvious. This word is not, it's going to come to pass so fast. It is. I mean, it will probably be a week before you're going to walk into a fool. And you're going to know that's that word, and I'm supposed to go up and pray for them, and they're going to just think you're so silly. But you know what? It ain't going to matter, because it's going to spur you on. Because, sister, I know you've got it. There's a gift of healing that God has moved through you in times before, but I really see that coming to the forefront. And, you know, you've been laying hands, not just on sick people with sickness, but in their minds. You know, they're not right. And I just see you really speaking a word of wisdom over them, but also the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, where it just sets them in their right minds. You know, fools and then the crazy people. And then you're going to go to maybe some normies after that. But I really see those two people in your life. Amen. I'm sorry. You know, well, that's to be judged. You know, in fact, bring them here. Amen. We want to see. If you can get them here. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Andrew, it's good to see you. Yeah, it just makes, you make my day when you show up here. Just something makes just this meeting more meaningful. Amen. God is so good. Amen. God is so good. You know, your labor in the Lord is never in vain, and you know this. But you've planted some seeds in some arenas that I've said that you don't even know that is catching fire. And you're gonna go, it's like I see God taking you back to this place where you plant these seeds, and all of a sudden God's done something in somebody's life, and now they want to start some kind of a meeting, and now something's just going to just pop up. You know, you're actually a church planter, and you don't even know it. God wants to encourage you in that arena that you are to plant churches. And, you know, they're going to look like his church. Not like a lot of the ones that you've attended. These are going to be his church, his thing, his move. So I just want to encourage you in that in Jesus' name. God is going to do that work inside of you. Amen. Planting churches, home groups. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Patty, why don't you come on up? And Ralph, why don't you come on up, and just, if God shows you anything for anybody. I'm sitting there just, I'm thinking about other people. Amen. I think it's on. Test. Test, test, test. Is it on now? Amen.
Shannon, I really feel like the Lord just told me to tell you that he's going to take the hardness from you and bring you a refreshing. And he's going to wind you up and let you flow like a river, even more than you've ever flowed. I just see that there's been like a heaviness that's come over you in a sense. And God says, I'm just going to take it away. You're not going to feel, what's the word? Tired. I just feel like you've had like a spirit of weariness. That's the best way to say it. But I just really feel like the Lord says, I'm fixing to take that away from you. I'm fixing to lighten your shoulders, lighten your load, and make it easy for you.
Amen. Let me see if I can get that on. I don't think it's on.
There you go.
My sister right here in the ball cap, she had them in there. Yes, I don't know that I've ever seen you before. Really feel like the Lord. I was just hearing runner. I don't know if you got any tennis shoes on tonight, but God said there's some spiritual shoes you're going to put on. As I was just looking at you, I really saw you running. I think that there's a distance ahead that's outside your norm. God's going to have you in some places in the future. You're going to wonder, why am I here? And God's going to begin to drop some things in your heart about locations that are not local here. God's going to say, I need you there, and he's going to give you some shoes, those spiritual shoes. Say, God, I can't do it. He said, yes, you can. I don't have that. Yes, you can. And God's going to open the door, whatever you have lack of, and you don't think, I can't do that. God's going to continue to say, yes, you can. And here it is. So I just felt like the provision is like a spiritual tennis shoe for you to run. But I really do see there's destinations. I guess that's the word. You're destined for destinations that you've yet to see. But God's planted some things in you. I believe you know what I'm talking about. Planted some things in you that you know that you're supposed to be moving into some things. And God wants to highlight that tonight and just encourage you. Say, yes, you're hearing from me. I've got some shoes. You're going to be one of my runners. So don't be surprised what God drops in, just like Brother Todd was talking about. Begin to really listen. Be really just open your heart, open your mind to listen to the Holy Spirit, because these destinations need you there. And you're saying, I don't know how to get there. God said, don't worry. I've got all you need to get there. Does that make sense to you? Good. Praise God.
I just see the Lord giving you like a baton. And you're running on a course, and you're running and running. And you hand it to somebody else, but they don't really want it. So you keep going. You're like a forerunner with the Lord. Just taking the baton and going and going and going and going and not stopping. I don't think you have a real strong resistance in you. It's like, Lord, tell me what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. And you run with it and go.
Young man right here, whatever happened to you?
Hey,
yeah, it looks like the battery's bad. What happened?
That's yours.
Yes.
This young man, what's your name?
Michael.
Lord, just as we were sitting here, I was just kept turning and looking at you. All that Lord was has
your attention, and I see that there's a hunger inside of you. You're sort of a quiet guy, at least I think that's what the Lord is saying. You're sort of a quiet individual. You're not one that's always out front, but I felt the Lord wanted to just highlight the fact that he sees you. It's like
sometimes we wonder, God, do you really see what's going on in my life? Does it make any difference in God wanting to say to you tonight, I see you. I see you. I've got my eye on you. And I believe he's got his eye on you for his intended purpose.
Amen.
And it's almost like, do you know what revelation means? We often say, I want God to give me a revelation. Revelation practically is the peeling away of that that's blocking your vision. I feel like that God is doing that for you. In this season, he's peeling away what has caused you sort of a cloudy vision. Said, Lord, I know that there's something, but I just can't see it. And I believe the Lord is saying tonight, he wants to highlight that for you to be encouraged, brother, that he sees you and that there is a peeling. So the word revelation, I would ask you to perhaps say, God, give me revelation. And when you say that, you see him peeling away what is blocking your vision. That's revelation. And I believe God's saying to you, Michael, I'm going to give you revelation. I'm going to peel away that that's been blocking you in this past season, not knowing, God, what do you really want me to do? And tonight he wants to say, just begin to pray. Begin to believe he's peeling away, and you're going to see clearly what God has called you for. And without any doubt, you're going to have confidence to pursue that with all your heart.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Cataract surgery.
Oh, sorry. Here, hold that one.
Okay.
This one works.
I had cataract surgery, and they removed the bad lenses off my eyes, and I feel like that's what the Lord's doing for you. He's removing the cataracts on your eyes so that you can really see clearly. You're going to see things that you could not believe you could ever see. And you're going to hear things that you never knew that you would hear. And you're going to speak things that you never thought you'd ever speak.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And just one thing I want to share with you. I don't know if you teach in school or not, but you have a teaching anointing on you. You have a gift to be able to share with people things and they hear you. And I just see God increasing that in you. I see that you have a, I'm talking to you, yes. Yeah. I just see that God's fine-tuning your ear to really hear him crisply. And he's touching your eyes for you to really see him, because you have a hunger in your heart for the Lord. And he says, I've heard your prayers, and I haven't put them to the side. I'm about to answer them. So.
Amen. My sister back there, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I see is that your mom there?
Yeah.
That's your mom and your daughter? Okay, daughter, I want to give you a word of encouragement. I see a repairing of relationships over your life, where the Holy Spirit is just doing a real healing, and it's kind of a miracle thing, actually. So I just want to give you a word of encouragement that God is doing a work in a very interesting way. You know, surgery, you know, when God does surgery on an individual, he sometimes will allow them to struggle some before they finally get to the point where they're willing to just receive from him. And somehow God is moving around in your relationships where he's changing some minds. So don't be surprised, okay? Because God can do things, you know, that we ask him to do in his way, though. So he's not, his timing is perfect. It's right on time. It's right when it needs to take place. And so just be prepared, because God is going to do it. So I just want to encourage you. And also, too, there's a real faithfulness inside you. It's like, you know, when you get something, you know, that expression, a dog with a bone in its mouth, dog will not let go. When you get something, when you get a revelation, when you get before the Lord and you believe for something, you will not let go. You will hang on and hang on and hang on and hang on. And that is something that is to be admired, and it's something that is to be taught. And I see you really imparting to individual people to teach them how to stand when they've done everything to stand. And that's why you're under the test that you're under. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how much you've had to apply what you know in the Spirit? And that will be a demonstration to others that are around you. This is one that stood, and God did deliver. Amen. So I just want to encourage you in that ministry, because that ability to be able to stand didn't come overnight. You learned that through the hard way. Amen. But you know that God will do it. If you'll just stand on his word and you just believe, his hand will move in its time and its season. So be encouraged in Jesus' name. Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Amen. Well, let's all stand to our feet. It's 9:00. Not that I ever care what time it is, but
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He is so good.
Father, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. I just ask you to fall now and fill him up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just really saw a new one over each and every individual as they go home tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you stir our hearts. Lord, that we would take and allow the cross do a thorough work in our lives. That we would leave here tonight, Lord, with wanting to seek your voice, but to understand there's some things that maybe have blocked us from being able to hear you clearly. And so we just thank you for that, Lord, and we just bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.